B-Pod Studios.
Saturdays at noon, 98.5 The Sports Hub drives the lane. It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Chris Gasper and Jim Murray bring you the latest on the Celtics. Insight, interviews, and your call. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on Boston's home for the Celtics. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. There is more information about the man who got Westbrook upset, allegedly saying, get down on your knees, which is a reference to slavery. I didn't know that. I was ignorant to that, but now I know. And this guy's a big hick. And he. This is a tweet from last March, correct?
That is, it's actually April 28th, 2018. So the it's at S. Kiesel 391. So it's the guy that was being interviewed after the game about his altercation with Russell Westbrook in last night's game against Utah. This is a tweet he sent out last April 28th about Westbrook. And it says this: Westbrook is a piece of classless. And then the word is covered up. Somebody needs to kick his, and the word is covered up. Hashtag tool, hashtag poor loser. So
yeah, someone needs
love
to
hashtags.
Beat him up.
Hashtags.
Yeah. Are the best. Someone needs to beat him up. That's right, Hick. Someone. Why don't you do it?
Yeah. Tough guy.
Yeah. What, like someone, what my kingdom for someone to go up and beat Russell Westbrook. Well,
so a little more insight into the guy that got in the altercation. And so
he obviously has got a lot going for him.
Yeah.
He's got a lot going for him over
classy
there.
Classy guy.
All right. So this, you know, want to hear about his charge that's never going to stick? Conor McGregor was arrested last night for breaking a fan's phone. So he's obviously a prick, and he's coming out of this club in early Monday morning. Guy approached him for a photo. So McGregor, like a prick, smacks the phone out of the guy's hands and stomps on it. The guy says his phone was worth $1,000. Okay. So he was charged with a felony. Am I the only one who thinks there's absolutely no way? No way in hell that he gets these charges stick. He was charged with felony strong-armed robbery.
Two felonies.
And misdemeanor criminal mischief.
He had two felonies. Oh, when in reality, he probably has to pay to replace the guy's phone.
$1,000 phone?
I don't.
There's some douchey crap on that. That's like a diamond, you know, protective case on it.
Sure.
$1,000 for a phone.
Well, it is Miami. Then the guys at the club.
South Beach is where this happens.
Yeah, so. Yeah, like when people
wouldn't be that surprising if somebody had a phone for $1,000.
When people are married and they go to clubs in Miami, I'm always fascinated. Like, why would you go there just to spend money and listen to garbage DJs when you could? What, you're not gonna? There's no you could if you have money, you could suffer through an evening there if you were to get laid. But the competition there is such that it's like, you know.
I don't miss those days.
No. I mean, I've only been to a club with bottle service a couple times, and they were all in New York. But it took a while for Atlanta to get the bottle service happening. I couldn't imagine. Like, when I hear of, like, couples going out to a club like that, what the hell are you doing? First of all, it's impossible to get laid at those places if you're normal anyway. Because there's guys doing things.
Maybe picking up another couple. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're doing.
Well, then you just go to a swingers place.
Okay, that's fair.
You go to a place where they have the phone on the table. And you can call the people at the next table. But, I mean, they say that those clubs in Vegas, like the really popular ones, that people go there, especially guys go there just to spend money. Like the whole exercise is to spend as much money as possible. It's like peacocking. Like you just...
Yo, look at me. Look at all the money I have.
They'll buy a bottle of, like, Cristal and just, like wave it around in the club. And that's, like, your mating dance. What a terrible
time. It's a world
time.
We live in today, man. That's the world we live in, man. That definitely goes on at those places, Fred.
Oh, that's but I know it about. Does.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get cocaine somewhere else. You can get, you can take ecstasy and do anything you want.
You but no one's going to see you. No one's going to see you do it. You want people to
right,
to
exactly,
see you,
man. Exactly. So, I mean, this is, that pisses me off, going to a club. Imagine standing outside of a club in the middle of the night, too, and go, Conor McGregor, can I take a picture of you with my $1,000 phone? No, I'm just going to smash it. That's a felony, sir. For smashing my phone.
I was a little surprised to hear that.
And it's not like there's no way to talk it out of it. You just go, the guy was being super aggressive with me, and I decided that as the only recourse I had was to smash his phone.
Reportedly, I think Connor's working on a new fight coming this summer. I think, I don't know if you guys are fans of his, but...
We had him in studio.
We had him in studio when he was at his lowest.
He can entertain now.
Yeah. Oh, he went through the whole crew here and said how he would kick everyone's ass.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. He talked about his strategy of kicking it. Now, were you first?
Oh, yeah. No, I was last because I was the easiest.
What was the...
He wanted to plow through you guys first and, like, I'm going to save Wallach for last because I know I could beat him easily.
Like, I mean, what was the tone of it? Was he being serious?
There was the tone. He was kind of laughing, but you look at him and you're like, that guy could much kill me if he wanted to.
No, he was doing it in a non-threatening way, but... He was being scientific about the whole thing. Like, I think that through his head, he was like, okay, this is actually how I would beat all of you up.
He walked in here and said, whatever room I'm in, I always map out an escape plan. And that's how it came up.
Oh, interesting.
Whatever room I'm in, I map out an escape plan.
I kind of do the same thing.
I kill those.
Well, just like, not to, if I, I'm just saying, really? If something, anything goes down, how do I get out of here?
Okay, your brain, Ted.
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
Really?
I mean, you...
Don't shrug your shoulders.
A very physical human being.
Fascinating.
All right, so when you enter a room,
yeah,
you think of if something goes down,
how do I get out of here? Not in every room, but if there's a situation that I feel like I might be threatened or it's unsafe, I feel very safe here, so I'm not looking to get out of here.
No, I understand that.
I'm not saying every room. I'm just saying maybe certain situations. I'm kind of. Yeah, you know what? I size up the situation. Maybe I size up, do I have friends here? Am I the enemy here?
Do you have to sit with your back to the wall in a restaurant?
That's what I was about to say. Do you have to sit so you can see the front door?
No, I'm
mob
not that
style?
Bad. No. I don't want to give you this idea that I'm that paranoid. No,
well,
not
where would
paranoid.
We ever pick up that idea?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, okay, based on yesterday's discussions, I get it.
It's not a paranoia. It's just a... Like, you're just, like, waiting for something to happen.
Well, because, you can be... I stick out sometimes, and you never know what people's intentions are. I 9 times out of 10, they're great. It's me worrying for no reason. But you never know.
You have people that come up and badmouth you to your face?
Never.
Yeah, never. That's what I was going to say. Nine times out of ten.
Okay, so 10 times. It's. I'm just waiting for that one time, Freddie. I'm just kind of waiting for who's going to...
He's kind of idling.
If a guy came up to you and started taking personal shots at you in your face, would you beat him up?
I'm bloodthirsty. It would be like I would almost... I don't want to welcome it, but there's a part of me that has, again, a sick fantasy of somebody doing that. Now, I can't, right? I have to be very careful about what I do. But if there was a chance that I would never get in trouble for it, if I knew there was never going to be any
like if they took the
consequence
first shot.
For it, then you just walked right into my trap. You just walked right into my trap. And so, again, I have that sick fantasy. It's almost offensive to somebody. You almost find when you... When you're a big guy and you work hard, you to take care of yourself, that you want to be able to answer the bell if it ever comes down. Like
Ted's kind of like a high performance sports car that's like idling at the start line, waiting for someone to mash the gas. Yeah. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's not like right there.
I understand what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying,
I'm not
buried too far down.
I'm not giving people the impression that you're about to fly off the handle and kill everybody.
No.
I'm saying that, but mapping.
Make sure you treat Ted right.
Because I'm thinking that mapping out the room. Are you almost hoping that something goes sideways?
There's that kind of thing in me. It's It's look, I you know my, my I mean, I'm going to my kids' basketball games. I do sports talk radio.
Yeah.
I need something to get me going, man. You know, sometimes I just want something to get me going. So whenever somebody cuts me off, it's oh, I'm alive, you know. All of a sudden, it's like I'm ready to go.
There's the rage I've been missing.
I haven't felt that in a while. Feels good. There's that kind of addiction to that adrenaline.
I understand.
That is like, whoo.
How long has it been since you hit someone with pads on?
Long time. It's 2005.
Okay.
Long time, man.
14 years that's been bottled up.
Yeah. See, if I get cut off, I got to check out who the person is before I decide how I'm going to react.
Yeah. That's with most people.
If they're a big guy again.
My nature is not, I'm not a fighter. My nature is not to fight at all.
Sure.
Football, but I am a physical, I'm the guy, physical stuff I love. If you're the guy, Freddie, if you call me and said, Ted, I want you to move all those big rocks from that side of the yard over to the other side, call me up. I'd love to do that. I love physical work. I just do. I don't know why. I've always been that way.
You want me to buy some rocks and just
buy some rocks, and I'll come move them from one side of the yard to the other. I just love physical manual work and football. And I was always a physical kid, and so football was the perfect outlet for me. And so I'm not a fighter. Maybe he's coming across that the last couple of days working with you guys.
No. It's not coming off that you're a fighter.
But I love that rush.
Right. It's that you miss that feeling.
Yes.
And that as we get older and settle into routine, that it's not as easy. All right. We'll break right after this. Here is Conor McGregor going through how he was going to kick all our asses.
It's best to get out, but in certain situations, you have no option. You must. For me, I am civil to everybody I come across, but I most certainly have a plan to kill everybody in this room and make my exit if need be. So just have your plan laid out. Be safe. Be aware. Self-defense is about awareness.
If you were to kill John Wallach, how would you do it? This man right here with the glasses.
A very civil man. You wouldn't want to do that to me. That isn't nice.
I don't know. I'd probably just run through him real quick.
Would you break his glasses?
I'd leave him last.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy, so I'll kill him last.
There you go.
Starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Last night, the Celtics got killed. John Wallach, very upset, having stayed up for the whole game.
Very tired this morning, Fred.
Yes.
Very tired.
You're making excuses for him, though, John. You're
3-1.
You kind of look at
it. 3-1. There are a lot of teams that go west.
Yeah.
I think maybe one team all season has swept those four games.
Yeah.
And the Celtics played well for three of those games. And in reality, they were down single digits midway through the third quarter. They just couldn't stop them last night. The defense was awful. I think maybe we have seen the turnaround. And with third place still very much a possibility, and everyone's saying all the right things. The actions of the players look a lot different. I don't know if they can carry that through. Home is where the problems were. Before they left on the West Coast road trip, they looked to be at each other's throats, but it looks like Kyrie Irving is now owning up to all the mistakes he's made in the interviews that he's had over the last 48 hours or so. And I know we've said this before, but it looks like the team may have turned a corner. And with only 3-4 weeks left of the regular season, now would be a great time to play your best basketball, and it looked like that until last night. So overall, I'm positive about what happened on the West Coast trip.
I think I am, too, at the end of the day. Last night was a clunker, though. Man, they had 2 days rest, and that's what you...
Oh, they were awful last night. They were terrible last night.
But I think they have turned a corner now. Is it going to be, turning the corner where all of a sudden they live up to the expectations that we all kind of had for this team at the beginning of the season? I'm not so sure. But when you read the articles that talk about where Kyrie talked about what he said on that team flight, In his behavior on that team.
Right before he dealt Uno to everybody.
Right before he does it Uno.
That's the greatest thing ever. Now, they were gambling on Uno?
I don't know if they were gambling on Uno.
I didn't see.
It's just a friendly game,
I don't know,
man.
How you gamble on Uno. You know? But you would think.
There has to be a way to gamble on Uno, but.
Whoever has the one card last, my friend.
Oh, I know how to play this game.
Millions and millions of dollars.
It takes like hours before somebody finally has the last
good
card.
Point.
That's the only problem.
You ever get stuck playing Uno with your kids?
I had to play Uno with my kids.
What I'm saying is,
I dominate.
Right. He's right. It takes forever.
It takes forever.
It takes forever.
To win? Like can.
Yes.
No, please.
Maybe I'm just playing it wrong.
Do you ever play a-hole with your kids?
I have not. I have not.
You drink and then they don't. That's how you
Is that I doubt it? Where you say, okay, I have 3 threes.
No, that's different. That's okay. Not how you play it. You went to college.
I did go to college.
In high school, that was the big thing, is you'd go over to Ryan Moore's house and play a-hole and drink.
Okay.
But I didn't drink in high school. Understand? Is this Gordon Hayward article real and really from the 10th of
March?
You know
what? I looked at it, and I think this guy actually wrote this seriously. He wrote it seriously in the hopes of getting clicks, but I think he actually believed it. It's not an onion type deal. I think he actually meant it.
Okay,
yes.
So this is really from yesterday.
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so there's this article, and while you guys were talking, I couldn't stop looking at it.
Yeah.
So, all right, Stephen A. Smith says, and then there's the element, he's talking about why Hayward is popular in Boston and didn't get a bunch of crap for being hurt. And then there's an element of Boston, Massachusetts. They don't just want a star, of course. They'll take any star they can get because their priority is winning. But everyone and their mother knows that, particularly when it comes to Boston, if we can have a white superstar, that would be even better. And they view Gordon and Hayward having that kind of potential. Fine. So Stephen A. Smith says that. And then this is the author is ProBasketballTalk.com,
I believe.
It's NBCSports.com.
Yeah, but it's
NBA.
They manage both.
Fair enough.
Yes.
All right. So it says, Here's the deep think piece that follows Stephen A. Smith's thinking. Are the Celtics fans who prefer a white star? Yes. Has that thinking trickled into the team's actual decision-making? I don't know. What don't you know? I don't know. Well, I'm not in the room. What an analyst this guy is.
Yeah.
Has this trickled into the team's actual decision-making? Well, I don't know. How many white guys are on the team?
I know.
Three?
Tice,
and I would also
Baines.
I would also say Gordon Hayward's taken a crapload of criticism for his play this year.
Celtics player is sensitive to all of this, apparently so, according to Smith. Boston has earned the reputation for racism that it doesn't make everyone in Boston racist. Really? Oh, that's a deep leap there.
Yeah,
that's outrageous to say, Fred.
This is a guy writing. This is a guy paid to write.
It's a clickbait article. It's well done because you're talking about it, and a lot of people.
Well, I'm talking about. Night. I don't even care about what he's saying about Boston being racist. I'm over that. I've been here since 2006.
I don't like that he would keep perpetuating that.
That's the whole narrative. Yeah, that's the narrative with everything. Who is the guy on the radio?
It's highly irresponsible, though.
Of course.
Damn it.
Of course. Who is the guy on the radio that said, I hate Boston. Like, when you walk down the street, I've walked the streets in Boston and I know that people are racist. And then it was like, what did you see on the street?
Yeah.
Like, he was just walking around and there was like this incredible. Listen, Boston could be the most racist place in the world. I don't know.
I have never, ever, since that. I've lived here 17 years.
Regardless, even if it is, this is the worst article. That doesn't make everyone in Boston racist. Wow, okay, thanks. That doesn't make anyone in the Celtics racist.
Again, wow, thanks.
Yeah, wow, okay. It doesn't? Oh, that's interesting. This is a guy paid to write.
Yeah.
It doesn't make Boston the only city with racism. This is something that my kids would write. This is awful.
Did we get to 100 words yet?
But there is a perception, itself matters.
Yeah.
All right. Now, listen. Now, we've been through this one before. Discussion of race in the Celtics intensified 2 years ago when Boston fans cheered Hayward, who was then visiting with the Jazz. Jay Crowder, who's black and was the Celtics starting small forward at the time, took exception. Did Boston fans support Hayward over Crowder because of race?
Wow.
Obviously.
Wow.
Crowder's a real superstar.
Jeez.
And then he goes on to say, Celtics fans also cheered visiting black players. He doesn't have an opinion on anything.
Yeah, this is bad.
Just say everyone's racist or say they're not. Celtics fans also cheered visiting black players, Kevin Durant the year before and Anthony Davis this season. Durant and Davis are significantly better than Hayward. On the other hand, Durant and Hayward and Davis each looked like the best player Boston could realistically acquire each of those summers. There's no clear motives here. Not every fan cheering for Hayward did so because he's white. Even the fans who prefer their team to have a white star rarely admit it, including to themselves. But this is where perception matters. If Celtics players believe Hayward gets special consideration because he's white, whether or not he actually does, I mean, are you kidding?
That's an idiot.
It's not saying anything.
No.
Actually, it does, then that could lead to problems with togetherness, supportiveness, attitude, environment. All issue Boston players have said the team faced this year. But that doesn't have to be the only thing.
Yeah.
Whatever is happening with Irving, the situation on Hayward could also be causing resentment. There are plenty of good reasons. This sounds like a 10-year-old wrote it. Mm. There are plenty of good reasons to lean on Hayward. His contract, his upside when he gets healthier. More than with any other player, the Celtics have played best when Hayward is playing well. Is this real? Is this real?
Do we really have to discuss the merits, or can we just stick with the fact that this guy writes like a
10-year-old? I'm not going to indulge in the merits.
Okay, let's just discuss the writing stuff.
Oh, yeah, the fans all cheered Hayward because he was white. Exactly.
He wasn't
just the best guy.
Guys like Paul Pierce and Isaiah Thomas not cheered at all. I understand.
No, but, he was the best guy available at the time. I mean, Durant and Davis. I'm not getting into that nonsense.
Right. So let's just discuss the fact that this guy wrote the best clickbait article he could think about.
Right.
And he did it with simple sentence structure that a fourth grader could have mastered.
Yes. I'm talking about how you could. This is literally not an opinion piece with no opinion. He and the Celtics have played better lately. The micro problem could be solving itself. At least one micro problem. Like most things, Boston issues are likely complex.
But it's full of speculation.
So it is or it isn't, and it may not be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So he's got both sides covered.
Well, good for him.
He wrote nothing. He wrote nothing of consequence.
Yep, and he got all the attention he wanted. Good for him.
I'm not sure I want this attention. I'm not sure I want a prospective employer.
No one knew who he was until 24 hours.
Is that what it's about, though, now, John? Is that what it's about, though? Is just getting clicked as opposed to actually having...
Yes, it is.
Like, good... You know,
no, but then write a thing about how racist Boston is and how everyone's racist and everyone doesn't want to play here. At least write that.
I know, but you throw that hand grenade of a word into a room, and regardless of what comes after that, when you put Boston and racist together in the same article, a lot of people are going to look at it, regardless of what the subject matter is, regardless of what the sentence structure is. And you know what, Ted? Journalism at times is getting clicks. It doesn't have anything to do with quality.
But this is an embarrassing
thing. Sometimes, there are great writers. There are a whole mess of them here in Boston. But for the people who don't work for the Boston Globe or don't work for the Athletic, who work for this kind of website, you want to make sure people somehow pay attention to you.
Then write an opinion piece. Write an opinion piece with an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So say Boston's racist.
It shows he's not capable. This article shows he's not capable.
Yes, which is, I don't want that out there.
Because he messed up a possible...
Just write an article.
I agree with that.
Write an article about how racist Boston is.
He's not a good enough writer to do that. So short of that, because he's not talented enough to do... And I agree with you, Fred. It would have been much more poignant and probably would have even got more attention, right or wrong, whatever his opinion was. He chose to do this. This is his effort to get people to look at him when he could have done a much better job of doing that. I agree with that.
Is it good? You know, Hayward was coming off the bench.
Yeah,
right?
He has been most of the season.
He's been almost the entire
season. So how the hell is he getting preferential treatment?
He's not.
I'm feeding into that crap.
You are.
I got to focus on just how poorly this was written.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun for 3.5 hours today. Let's not let this, article ruin it.
No, it's not ruining anything. I'm just mystified that this person is paid to write. Yeah. Not because just write that Boston's racist. Write it.
And have an opinion.
Yes.
Yes, instead of splitting.
Right.
The middle.
Good. Yeah. Write about how racist it is. No one wants to be here. And
you're
da
wrote,
da 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 da. Good.
750 or 1,000 words, taking no stance whatsoever.
Yes, good for you.
Yeah.
Then do that. What am I going to get mad at you? Do that. I thought that was a fake article, man. I swear to God, that was an article that was put in front of me, and I thought it was fake. Is it because he's white? Who's to say? Is he getting favorable treatment? Who's to say? Is the Kyrie Irving thing? Well, that's one thing. But is there another thing? Who's to say? People in Boston are racist. Not everyone's racist in Boston.
Yeah, I know. Celtic fans cheer white players and they cheer black players. Who's to say?
Well, you could make the argument that they cheered, Durant.
Yeah.
But they,
Anthony Davis.
And Anthony Davis, who are better than Hayward.
Yeah.
You don't say.
But it could be the other way.
I don't see. That's why don't they get Durant then? He's better.
Uh-huh.
Like, why don't they get LeBron James? He's better.
Yep.
That's an article by. So I can't imagine that person got paid.
Some junior in college class project. Here, we're short a man. Yeah, write this.
Bird could at least write an article that, like, was said, like, screw you, I'm not racist, or Boston's really racist. All right. Take the race thing out of it, and you've got yourself one of the all-time worst articles I've ever read.
I love it. I got you worked
up. It's pissing me off. Yeah. It's so bad. It's pissing me off. Somewhere out there, there is someone who wants to write about sports that is being held back because this idiot is writing about it.
This guy's in front of him.
And by the way, it's like a reaction to a Stephen. It's not even the guy's idea. It's a reaction to something that Stephen A. Smith said.
Right, right.
Even worse.
Stephen A. Smith makes a living doing that. Who cares? Like, he can say whatever he wants.
Guy probably sees himself as a crusader.
You know, a crusader for what? He didn't even say anything.
But I know. A crusader for both sides of the racist equation.
This is my version of bloodlust for Fred right now.
No, he's not.
No? Okay.
Not. Are there Celtics fans who'd prefer a white star? Yes.
No.
Has that thinking... I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sure there's fans... that would prefer a white star. Of course there are. Of course. What is this? No. No one would prefer a white star. No one in the world. That thinking trickled into the team's actual decision making? I don't know. Well, that's fantastic. Neither do I.
What do you know?
Are Celtics players sensitive to all this? Apparently so, according to Smith. Boston has earned a reputation for its racism. No kidding. That doesn't make everyone in Boston racist.
No kidding.
No kidding.
That doesn't make anyone in the Celtics racist. In the Celtics racist? That doesn't make Boston the only city with racism. This is an article for NBC Sports.
I know. This is a 19-year-old kid.
If it's 19-year-old
sophomore in college.
No, this is maybe middle school. That doesn't make Boston the only city with racism.
I haven't seen his picture.
But there's a perception, and sometimes perception itself matters.
Get it, John.
Hang on. Stand by. I'm told I can find his picture on Twitter. Okay, I have his picture on Twitter right now. He is a 19-year-old sophomore. It's what it looks like. Honest to God. You look at his picture, he looks like he's 19.
There's no clear motives here. Not every fan cheering for him.
Even better, he went to Michigan.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
His dad must have built the library.
He's a man.
There are no clear motives here. Not every fan cheering for Hayward did so because he's white.
he's from Detroit.
What? Yeah, like
he's
the black.
He's from Detroit, Fred.
Like, wait a second. You're saying that cheering for Hayward did so because he's white? Yeah. You know, there's black people at Celtics games. Even the fans who prefer their team... as a white star, rarely admitted, including to themselves. Yes, we're all living in this huge denial. What a dumb article. Michigan.
Yep.
I'm going to call Jaffe and get him in here. You and Jaffe should fight that.
The next time it's a reported player's is sensitive to how a city treats them based on race, I'll write about that too.
All right, very
good. He is a crusader. He sees himself
as a
crusader
of incredible mediocrity with no opinion on anything whatsoever. All right, so here are the headlines.
Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack it up.
Oh, you got to stack it up. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Paul. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Nothing. Taking eggs, boys. Taking eggs. Hey, so this whole thing with Westbrook last night kind of triggered it when I was listening to you guys talk about the article about, you know, Boston wanting white superstars and all that. Can you imagine the bleep storm if that happened in Boston with Russell Westbrook?
Yes. It would be, would be insane.
ESPN would have a three-part, you know, introspective of the history of racism in Boston.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct.
Dan makes a good point in the other room. I was going to bring this up. Happened. Adam Jones, Red Sox, bleachers.
Yeah.
Happened. And ABC News got a hold of that. I mean, that was a huge story.
Yeah, and did Adam Jones even react to it until after the game?
Not until after the game, no.
Yeah, so can you imagine if it happened on the Garden?
It's a little different, though. I mean, he's standing in center field. I mean, the bleachers are way above him.
I've seen players in the outfield get into it with fans. You know, especially in left field at Fenway. No. But, you! They sit there shaking their fists.
You rotten apple.
Yeah, but I've seen players, outfielders get into it with fans in the outfield. But my point being is that the Adam Jones thing, he didn't even react on the field. Westbrook
was the heat of the moment thing. Jones popped off to the media after the game was over. But it's true. I mean, if that happened in a Celtic game, that would be national news.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I mean, and then Good Morning America would spend about 10 minutes on it.
And then I wonder if this writer for NBC Sports could get on there and mm-hmm. give
no opinions.
A Detroit native, a Michigan grad.
From the city of Detroit?
It just says at his Twitter account, Detroit, Michigan. From Detroit. Graduated the University of Michigan.
Do you know how hard Michigan is to get into?
I am. I'm aware of how hard Michigan is to get into.
Could you got in there, Ted Johns?
I couldn't, buddy. No. I didn't.
They didn't come calling?
No. No teams east of Colorado.
Who are the other teams? Who are the other schools?
I was not a highly recruited player, but the schools that recruited me, San Diego State, Arizona State, UW, UCLA. And the one school that I thought was really nice, I thought about it for 1 second. They wanted to, their pitch to me was to name the position after me. So the instead of the Mike position would be the Ted position.
What school is that?
Well, it doesn't have a football program anymore. It's UOP, University of Pacific. It's where Pete Carroll went to school.
Oh, okay.
So who was the UOP coach at Colorado when you were there?
Bill McCarney.
Oh, okay. He's a weird dude.
He was different. He was a God-fearing man. You know, he started Promise Keepers. A lot of people remember him from that. Yeah. But Coach Mack, unfortunately, it's been out there for about a year or so. Is now suffering from Alzheimer's. Coach Mack.
All right, now you got to ruin it.
Coach Mack.
Fred was going down a certain way. Now you just cut off his knees there.
I would say the one comment that got him a little bit of hot water at one time. He's in front of the CU kind of placard there, and he's giving a talk. Homosexuality is an abomination of God. Okay, Coach, that's probably not the best thing to say.
But listen,
someone had to say it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we had some picketers, and that didn't go over well. But Coach Mack was a phenomenal, phenomenal football coach. Comes from University of Michigan. He's from the Bo Schembechler tree.
Yeah, Schembechler is another guy. All right, who was the quarterback while you were there?
Cordell Stewart.
Was Charles Johnson on that team?
Charles Johnson was on
the enemy?
That team.
Charles Johnson went to Detroit
Ice Cream
Country Day.
Oh, did he?
He went to Detroit Country Day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his nickname was Ice Cream.
He got the fifth down right there. Charles Johnson was the quarterback.
Everybody remembers that fifth down. I was not on that team. That was the year they won the national championship, was that Missouri fifth down.
We had this conversation, and Rich flipped out because of the whole Georgia Tech co-national championship.
Yeah. He's a huge fan of the
I know. I know.
He's coming at me hard.
He didn't finish Tech. He was there for how long?
He was there
personally offended for school that he only attended for a short amount of time.
No, he like went for like 4 years, but like, he was like
finish.
A credit short.
Yeah,
and, like,
he left.
Finish.
Yeah, he didn't finish.
Like, he could have, and then in Atlanta, it's great because if, like, at Georgia Tech, they have I think it's called a Hope Scholarship. I don't remember what it's called. But if you maintain a certain grade average in the Georgia schools, you get to go to a Georgia university for free or for very cheap. And so Rich got into Georgia Tech. He was getting paid for. And he left, like, at the, I never, like, he could have easily graduated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was the president of his high school class.
Yep.
Like, he's like,
that's no surprise.
But he's like an intelligent, yep, like intelligent guy. Like, he, no, could have easily done it. It pisses me off for him
that he didn't finish.
I mean, it hadn't hurt him professionally.
No, really. Well. I think he's doing all right. Yeah.
But I'd just be like, dude, just why did you not finish? Yep. You wasted all that time.
But yeah, he went right after Ted Johnson hard about that call.
Fifth down, John, cost
us a national championship.
It makes sense now. I didn't realize he was realize he went to Georgia Tech. I mean, he was coming at like, you know, like I just peed in a cereal, man. I was like, dude, I wasn't on the team, bro. I'm sorry. You did get co-national. I mean, you did get national championship status.
I mean, you can't find, he's like Breer. You can't find him without Georgia Tech gear on. I wonder if Breer owns anything that doesn't say Ohio State on it.
That's true. He was in here with a huge Ohio State sweatshirt on.
Yeah, all Ohio State guys are that way.
He just loves Ohio State.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
They are loyal to that school big time, man. I kind of envy that. Part of me wishes I went to a school that had that kind of tradition. Colorado was like, I mean, it was like, hey, we're there to smoke pot and to go skiing, man. You know, oh, there's a football game going on. Nice. You know?
Well, listen, we're both marijuana advocates. There's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
All right. So we'll be right back. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and Scott Zolak is in the building in his friendship with Ted Johnson.
It's my guy.
And now Birds went to go get him, but who knows how that's going to work out.
Yeah, clock's running.
Can I just make one observation about what I've seen in the last couple of days? I'm just going to tip a cap to the sales department here at 985 The Sports Hub. They show up early, you know?
Well, define early.
I don't know. I mean, I see people here at 7:45, some salespeople.
Well, JT gets here.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
At 6:30.
Yeah, JT.
He wants it. He's hungry.
No. It's a smart move by JT. He knows where the location of the building is, and if he waits an extra half hour, it's going to take him three times as long to get here.
Yeah, I think he's in at 6:15, like out at 2. I think that's the way JT plays the game.
I see what you're saying. Okay. All right. Well,
I'm not saying he's bad at his job. He's very good at his job, but that's the reason he's here early.
I've been around other sales forces at other stations in the past, and I just don't remember them showing up.
Early.
They're out knocking on doors and making things done. They're wheeling dealing. They're not 9 to 5 and nickel and diamond. All right, Scott Zolak.
Zomania running wild.
What are we talking about? Is his Tupperware out with the oil in it?
Yeah. Good.
Atta boy, you already eaten? You already eaten
a little salad there. Yeah.
Atta boy, that's
nice. He puts a head of iceberg lettuce and cucumbers. It's all nutrition.
Yeah.
It's all deep.
Olive oil and white vinegar.
You're a big cook. You like to cook. Ames cook? Big cook at home? No, you're the cook.
We eat out a lot.
Yeah, so do we.
But I like to grill. I'm a grilling guy. It's like Sam the Butcher at the Big Y. I go to, hey, Sam, how you doing?
Is this really?
That's where I go for all my grilling needs. I go to the Big Y.
Is his name really Sam the Butcher?
Sam the Butcher.
Bringing Alice to meet.
Oh, yeah.
Like Fred Flintstone driving around with bald feet.
Walked right into it. Mm-hmm. Nice job. Where do you go again?
Take my Chevy Tahoe from McGee. We'll be doing new McGee spots.
Where do you go for food again?
The Big Y in Franklin.
Sam the Butcher.
Where is Franklin? Talk to Sam the Butcher. Franklin? It's out where real people live in the suburbs.
It's a ways off.
Where you can actually get a two-car garage.
It's about 40 minutes.
You live, Scott, in all fairness, in a suburb of Providence.
Correct, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's the town next to Foxborough. It's like not a suburb of Providence.
Okay.
But I am closer to Providence than I am Boston.
How long did it take you to get here today?
A little hour.
Whoa. Okay.
Not so bad.
Yeah. Wow, not bad at all.
Well, it's so much easier to come here than it is the old building we used to work at. That place is a freaking nightmare.
So I know where Zoe lives. I used to live down the street from for a year. I rented a house from a guy. So, I used to live out in that area, Rentham, Franklin. Anyway, but how did you, I mean, we would go to Boston a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And that drive from Boston back to Franklin. It's not
rally.
A fun drive.
You can rally, man.
Ugh, just, we did it all the time.
Oh, we'd have a bus. Everybody stop, pull over, everybody throw up, get back on the bus.
Man. Yeah,
I'm a nice
oh,
man.
Too bad. All right, Scott Zolak.
Honest to God, we went to the Milford Athletic Club, which is about 5 minutes from my house for the first time out with Bledsoe and Rucci.
Oh, yeah.
We woke up in the back of some truck out Webster, Massachusetts somewhere. By some lake. It's a white hand pantry right in our parking lot. I'm like, we don't know what
and
happened.
And no one remembered
blacked
how you got
out.
There.
Down, blacked out.
Nice.
Good for you. That was a fun night.
Okay. Good for you.
We had many fun nights. Rooch, great pull right there. Miss Tara. Enjoyed it, Fred. That was fun.
Yes, Ted Johnson, thank you so much. And you will be back tomorrow.
You got it, man.
One
I'll
more
see
day. We're looking forward to it. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.